right?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
So
yes.
Please welcome Adelaide and Lucinda. Please have a sit down. Thank you. We've just watched the beautiful documentary, and it's such a great honor that you can join us today, this afternoon, at the Sydney Mechanics School of Arts. And it's really such a joy to meet you in the flesh. You know what happens when you get a film crew in, and it's almost like reality TV, like the Kardashians, but it's slightly different vein. And we feel that we know you so well after watching the film, and to know your grandmother. And just like to go through some of the questions with you. And I suppose the question that you said I should start with is, why did you decide to make this documentary? And what was the moment or the feeling that made you realize that this was a story that needed to be told, that needed to be shared?
Yeah, thank you, Yumi, and thank you so much, everyone, for being here. It's really special to share our film with so many of you. I think the process started 5 years ago, which is quite unbelievable to say, but we were visiting our nana in the nursing home, and we had some friends who also had grandparents in that nursing home, but we never saw them in there, and we started having some conversations with them, and the same sort of answer kept coming up, which was that I'm too afraid to go into the nursing home. I don't know how to talk to someone with dementia. They're going to forget, so what's the point? And we discussed this, and I was working with our director, Anna Trichet Laurier, at the time with a film company, and it was Lulu's idea that to say, well, why don't we try to showcase our story and humanise the disease, how it basically affects our family, and hopefully that, destigmatises some of the stereotypes a little.
You spent a lot of time in the nursing home, and was there something that you observed in the nursing home that made you think, I wish it would change, I wish there's some things that I could change about the system, number one, and how did you react with the other residents? Did you have any interactions with them? Because the film primarily showed your interactions with Nancy, your grandmother.
Yes. Yeah, there's so many incredible people in the nursing home with Nana. There's a big Latino population who are in the nursing home, and so I practice my Spanish with them sometimes. It's quite lovely. I think to answer your question, it's not what I would want to change about it, but I think what I wish people knew about nursing homes, where our Nana is, it's incredibly bright. There's this big open living room space. There's a beautiful balcony that was a saving grace during COVID, because our Nana could be out there on the balcony and we could spend time with her. And I think I know that our Nana is in a private system, and it's not necessarily the case for all nursing homes, but I think that there is this sort of stigma that nursing homes can be really scary. And I know for our experience, it hasn't been like that. And I spoke to some friends after our premiere back in June or July, and they said, wow, I didn't realise that's what it was like in a nursing home, and so much work goes into caring for these people, and I'm so glad that was something that was a takeaway, how hard these staff work. It's an incredibly challenging job. I mean, we know a tiny fraction of it, because we come for a couple of hours and then we leave, but they're in there every day trying to look after multiple people. And I think it's important to remember that it takes a village to care for someone in a nursing home. You can't just put your family member in there and walk away, because it's tough work.
So, Lulu, when you went to the nursing home, mm-hmm. did you realise that some residents had visitors and some didn't?
I think that became quite apparent, that some residents would have frequent visitors, some would have infrequent visitors, and some would have none at all. And so Addie and I tried to make a concerted effort to spend time with not just our nana, but as many people as we can. And I think what I learned through that is not to place judgment. I don't know family situations, and so I never want to place judgment on that. But I think we just realize the power of providing company and comfort to those people. I remember one woman was Filipino, and so I didn't even understand her language, and I would just sit with her and hold her hand and listen to her laugh in Filipino, and I thought it was amazing, and I had no idea what she was saying, but I knew she would be very funny. Well, she was very funny. And so I think it was, understanding the nuance that our family cares for our nana in a certain way, and respecting the way other people care for their family members, but also trying to extend that care ourselves.
I think it's fair to say that one of the things that struck me, and I suppose, you know, would strike many people who watch the film, is the love. It's the incredible love that she had for you, that you have for each other, and that, you know, you have for her. How did you, you know, build on that in this journey of care when you saw her slowly slipping away? And how did you forgive yourself when sometimes things got too hard? And we're not all angels, and we can't always be, you know, vibrating at the Buddha level and, you know, smiling. Yeah. Yes. So, how did you, you know, use that as your rock and forgive yourselves?
Well, I mean, it's such a beautiful question, Yumi. And when I read them, when Addie sent them to me, because we've done a few questions now with media, and by far these are the most well thought out, genuine questions, because when I read that, I realized I haven't forgiven myself in how I care for my nana, and I still hold a lot of guilt and pressure on myself in terms of visits where we haven't been able to have a shower or times that I've been away. And so that was actually an incredible question to make me realize I haven't, and I need to start to, because I know we forgive each other and we forgive our family, and I forgive my nana very easily, but I haven't forgiven myself. So that's, I think, something I need to work on.
Yeah, I think it's very easy to sort of fall into the trap of approaching a visit with Nana how you would approach other areas of your life, where you've kind of got your to-do list and your set goals, and this is what we're achieving today. I'm going to go in there, we're going to shower, we're going to do all of these different things. And it just, over the years, sometimes we would do that, and other times, more frequently now, we don't. We can't shower her anymore. It got to a point where we could only do it together, and I would lean on my sister a lot in that time, because I found it to be the most challenging time with our nana. But we're not able to do that very much anymore, and so it's learning to just let go of that list. And if, you know, just sitting there with her in the dining room, or holding her hand, or singing a song, even if it's just for 20 minutes, if that's all you've got time for that day, that's still enough. And I remember in the very early stages of the research for the documentary, we spoke to a man called Professor Henry Bradati, and he shared something with me, which is that even if they forget the visit, the feelings that you provoke during that visit will linger for the rest of the day. And that's so powerful when, you know, we feel like we haven't done much, or, you know, I might think I'm too tired or I'm too busy. Even if you can just be there for 20 minutes and have a laugh or have a cuddle or hold hands, that's still enough.
I think that is sort of tangentially related to your grandmother's early history, and that is something that you did so beautifully, and you unfolded so sensitively the fact that she was sexually abused as a child, and that is one of the major reasons why she absolutely did not want anyone to touch her or to shower her. You know, at the Older Women's Network, we are trying to improve responses to sexual assault by older women, including older women in aged care. And as part of that, we did a lot of workshops with older women where we did these body mapping exercises. And one thing which was really clear to us is that all the trauma that women carry from even, you know, the time of childhood as your grandmother, which is so beautifully expressed in this documentary, they cannot let it go because they haven't had the opportunity to heal. So how did this revelation make you think a little bit differently about your grandmother and about older women today?
Yeah, it's such important work that you're doing at the Older Women's Network, having those conversations. It's a devastating topic. Women carry so much shame in that space. And, you know, when we were kids, our nana was our safe space, and she was so strong to us in so many ways. And, yeah, I guess to learn that and learn that at a time where we couldn't talk to her about it was heartbreaking, really, really heartbreaking, because obviously I completely understand why she didn't share that with us, but I wish that she had been able to at least share it with somebody that she trusted, but it sounded like no one in our family knew, and that's heartbreaking because that's just something that festered in her for so long. Learning about it when we would try to shower her made so much sense. Mm. And in those moments when she would yell at us, which was really confronting, just allowed us to have so much more compassion to know that, you know, this is not personal. There's something far deeper going on here.
Yes, and she wouldn't be the only one.
Yeah.
Aged care who, you know, absolutely don't want people to touch them, and therefore aged care staff think that they are very difficult and, you know, yeah.
Absolutely. And I think we also learnt through Nana's dementia that her strongest memories are her earliest, and the short-term memory is the one that declined the most. So I think having that knowledge gave us a better understanding that maybe they're even more prevalent with her dementia now, which explains a lot exactly of why it was so difficult to help her with her hygiene.
Yes, and I don't know if you followed the Aged Care Royal Commission, but they found that there's about 50 sexual assaults a week taking place in aged care. And when KPMG did some, you know, survey for the government and were paid handsomely for it, of course, aged care providers said that in 58% of cases, it had no impact on the victims, which is, of course, not true at all. And as you say, the professor has said that even though they cannot remember, but the body remembers, the feelings remember.
Yeah, and I would love to know how they came up with that statistic and what sort of psychological testing went into that, because that just makes you so angry to hear something like that, just because maybe someone can't verbalise feelings or emotions like they used to prior to dementia doesn't mean that they're not experiencing things within their body. So, yeah, that's really devastating to hear.
Yes, absolutely. So, because they think they have dementia and therefore they won't remember.
And I think that also comes back to, well, you know, when you say that, I also hear they have dementia, they're no longer very human, it doesn't matter. And I think something that we really tried to show with our documentary is to remember that with every case of dementia, there is a human there, and you can't forget that, because even though their life is becoming and their world is becoming smaller and smaller, you still need to try your best to uphold their humanity and their dignity.
I think you do that beautifully. You know, this year, there are 433,000 Australians living with dementia, and of course, millions more, you know, family members who are impacted by this. And dementia brings a kind of a living grief, which is so beautifully articulated in your film, where you're loving and losing the same person, often in the same day. How did you learn to sit with that grief?
It's so difficult. It's really challenging because there is so much love there, as you say, and so much care, and yet there is so much grief and they are slipping away from you in the moment. And in that moment, there is also the balance of trying to help them, whatever the short-term task is. And then it's usually when I leave visits is where the sort of detritus of that visit hits me, and I realize that she has slipped away more. And I don't know if we have the answer for that. I think it's really challenging, yeah, that there's no rule book. And when we first experienced that in the beginning, and it was a lot more of a shock to Addie and I, we did look around for resources and for any sort of mirror to see ourselves reflected back and our experience, and we couldn't really find it. And that was part of the reason we created this documentary, was to tell our story and hopefully others who go through similar or not similar can see a piece of themselves, because it is really challenging to grieve someone who's still alive and who's still there. Yeah.
Yes. You know, you are in this room with quite a number of older women and a few older men, some of whom have done a lot of caring in their lives. What do you think your generation needs to know about aging? And what do you think our generation, the older generation, need to understand about yours?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, we were sort of talking about it on the way here, and we look at how divisive the world is right now, and I think we are more similar, Lulu, you said, we are more similar than we are different, and we are stronger when we are together and open to listening to one another. Something that I know our generation is scared of, but also is getting constant messaging about, is to not age and to not become older or look older. And it's devastating. It's on so many products you buy, where it's this anti-aging, or it's try this to stay younger, or I've even got friends who have started having what's called baby tox, like preventative Botox. And you know, you never want to judge the individual, because obviously it comes from a much bigger institution. But I think it's reminding our generation what a privilege it is to age, and what aging, there's so many stories that come with aging, so many life lessons, so many relationships, so many experiences. On all of the wrinkles on my nana's face tell so many stories about her life when she was in England, when she was in Australia. And I think it's such a privilege, and I think our generation, unfortunately, is currently at the mercy of these big businesses trying to tell us that aging is not okay, when really it's so beautiful.
Yeah, and I would just add to that as well, as our nana used to say to us, if you don't get old, well, what's the alternative? And it's so true. I think something about our generations, when I say we're more similar than we are different, is I think people look at loneliness when you get old and you physically lose family members and friends. But dare I say, our generation is one of the loneliest right now. We have an epidemic of loneliness among young people, and we are starved of connection, and real connection like what is in this room today, a beautiful group of people getting together, sharing a story. Our generation is starved of that. And so I think we could learn so much by sitting with people of your generation and just listening and hearing your stories.
I've got a lot more questions on here, but I'd like to give the audience an opportunity to ask these sisters some questions. And so I'm going to run up to you and hold the mic, but I'm not going to give you the mic. Yeah, that's okay.
Hi, my name is Isa, and it's a real pleasure and an honor meeting you young ladies, Adelaide and Lucinda. I usually don't remember names, but it's coming to me. You are a tribute to your parents, your grandmother, and to our society when young people are so much about me, myself, and I. And I was crying because I just couldn't get over how loving you are to your grandma. You know, lots of people love their grandma, but you just showed it in action. And by the way, I used to be a dementia and delirium CNC, and I've worked with Henry Brodati, and I'm so happy that he's been part of this program. Thank you, girls, ladies, so much.
Agreed. 100,000% agreed.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Yes. So Sophie will bring the mic up.
Yeah. Goodness.
It's a powerful documentary with a profound message in it. I had an opportunity to work very closely with carers, but most of them were spouses. And it is so good to see granddaughters being such wonderful carers to their nanny. I would like to say that I'm lucky that I have three granddaughters. If my wife fails in looking after me, my three granddaughters will definitely look after me. I have a couple of questions if I could ask you. I'm passionate about spreading awareness of dementia, and I conduct seminars on dementia. If you are in Sydney, and if I have a seminar, if I give you plenty of notice, would like to come and chit-chat with my participants for 10-15 minutes. Can that be possible?
Of course.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the second question I have is, the documentary is so wonderful, I would like to share it with my carer participants, because I have seen carers going through such a lot of, it's difficult for carers. And I have seen some carers getting really angry and upset with the dementia battlers. But the way you two handled that was really very amazing and powerful. So I would like my carer participants to see what a wonderful job you are doing. So would I be able to use this documentary in my seminars?
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe at the end I can exchange details and I can talk to you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
Of course. And I think just on that, I mean, Lulu and I think were so lucky to have had such a strong bond with our Nana, and we know that it's not necessarily the case for all families. We had such a strong bond, which we spoke about at the start of the film. She was like a third carer from a very young age, and so I think it enabled us to show up in those moments where it's really tough, where you have to be crying together, where she's naked, whatever it might be. Because we had those foundations, it did make that somewhat easier. And I think, you know, it's not necessarily something that everybody can do because maybe they haven't had that same experience. So I think we were lucky in the sense that we had years and years of connection that has set the groundwork for this, you know, long journey with dementia. Thank you.
Yes, Kerry.
Thank you. That was just the most, my heart is full today from your authentic, you were absolutely captured the authenticity of the love. My question is to both of you, and around how, and that question around, I think it captured beautifully that loss and love that you go through. It can be moment to moment. But how important was your connection together in supporting you through that journey?
Yeah, thank you. It's a great question.
Yeah. It's so important, and I think it's instrumental in the way we care for Nana. We lean on each other so much throughout the filming and before the filming and still now when we see our Nana. I think community is everything, whether it's by blood or by a community you create. It was the foundations for how we supported our Nana. And in saying that, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. Like, I think the ones you love the most, sometimes you take it out on the most. And so I think some of the biggest fights Addie and I have ever had have been on the way to the nursing home. And who's doing what today? Because we are in it together, we just have that it's just that shared understanding.
And I think to the authenticity, because we are so authentic with each other, sometimes I'll say something to Lulu or she'll ask if I'm okay and I'll give her an answer and she's like, okay, now tell me the truth, because that's not what's going on here. You know, we know each other so well, sometimes better than we know ourselves. And I definitely have, as I said before, in those shower moments, I find them so difficult. And so having Lulu there with me to help in those moments, but also just, I even think about on the night of the premiere, I was so nervous, but knowing that we were going to be doing it together, bouncing off each other with answers, feeling like the best versions of ourselves. I mean, there's no way we would have been able to do the doco without each other, I don't think.
I wanted to give up so many times and yeah. Addie was like, we're not giving up. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that just goes to finding community and your people in any caring journey, because we know how difficult it is for the individual going through dementia, but also for the family members, and they need support as well. So who's going to provide that?
Another question at the back. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Hi, I think that was absolutely beautiful. What I wondered was, how did you keep going with the swimming? Where did you get that strength when you knew that you weren't going to get her in the water, but you just kept on going?
Oh, that's great. Oh, goodness.
That's also where most of our fights stemmed from, around are we going to do it, are we not going to do it? Those sorts of days, not for Nana, but for us, because we had a small budget we were working with, we tried to get as much filming as possible into the one day. So they were 12-hour days and you're dealing with, you know, unpredictable weather. When are the moments that Nana's going to be there? Everyone needs to be right on point when she's there. Not sure how Nana's going to be thinking that we only had a documentary if she got in the water. And I think it was just, we sat with that journey for about a year and a half. And then it got to a point where we had to be really honest with ourselves and think, you know, if we try again, are we going to be pushing her too far? And I think we came to the conclusion that we would have been. And so we had to ensure that her safety came first. And then as we sort of came to that conclusion, we came together as a film team with Anna and sort of worked out, okay, well, what is our story here? And very quickly we realised, you know, Nana swimming is not what people are going to relate to, because that would have been almost impossible. The moments that people will relate to and hopefully find themselves in are those mundane, everyday tasks. The swimming was just this beautiful motif that carried through, because it is just a very important part of our lives.
I think you actually resolved it very beautifully with, you know, your Nana by the edge and just going through the motions.
Well, yeah.
I thought that was the perfect swim for your grandmother.
Well, actually, when that happened, because Addie and I were very similar, but we are a bit different. And the way we approached it, you know, Addie was checking the weather app every day of like my Taipei, like organizing it. And then I was trying to ask the question of like, if this doesn't happen, she's like, no, it's going to happen. But then when we were open to thinking, if this doesn't happen, so what? You know, if she gets in, so what? And when she did stand on the edge, she surprised us all, because that is her role now. She is an observer. She is on the sidelines of life, and she's having the best time doing it. You know, she isn't in the game anymore in the sense of swimming and getting in the pool. She's watching her family do it and the generations. And so it was actually a really special moment, and we realised there was still always a story to be told.
Yeah. And she was just, you know, in the moment.
Yeah.
Yes. Question at the back.
Thank you both for such a beautiful documentary. The love and the truth is exceptional. I have a comment and a question afterwards. The first comment is, what touched me was the discussion you had with your father about the DNR, the do not resuscitate decision. I know all families do things differently, but I think it was a wonderful point to bring into the documentary and very, very important. My question basically is based on the figures that Yumi has just said, the number of people with dementia in Australia, I think it's one of the leading causes of death. Has the ABC shown any interest, or SBS shown any interest in showing this as a documentary and putting it on their iView for everyone to see?
Yeah, actually, about a month ago, SBS purchased the film, so it'll be on SBS next year.
Woo! That's terrific. Yeah. That's absolutely terrific. Look, I'm mindful of the time. We've actually gone 15 minutes past 4 o'clock. Will you stay for a couple of minutes in the foyer just to, you know, say hello to people?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much. In this world today, there's so much darkness everywhere, you know, in Australia, overseas, and therefore you have given us a gift of how love looks like and how love can be like and how we can care for each other. And, you know, for that, really, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
for coming.
And, you know, we'll all go back with a little bit of Nancy in our hearts. Thank you. And I'm sorry I can't stay because I've got to rush off to an ICAC briefing. Mentioned that I can. But thank you so much for coming on behalf of the Health Consumers New South Wales, for the beautiful venue, Sydney Mechanics School of Arts, and the Older Women's Network. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, everyone.